Hello, I'm Richard.
I'm David.
Rash.
I'm David.
I'm Roy.
And this is the TBK podcast. We're going to be discussing a variety of news stories in today's boxing news. So the first story we want to speak about is the Manny Pacquiao-Ryan Garcia fight. It came as a bit of a shock. I didn't expect it. He was speaking about fighting Gervonta Davis. And, you know, there was talk of him fighting Devin Haney. He's mandatory for Devin Haney. He seems to have overlooked his mandatory and he's going straight into a Manny Pacquiao fight. David, what do you think?
A bit surprised by that, to be honest with you. I mean, kind of knew he weren't going to fight Tank, to be fair. There's too many hurdles and red tape to get through. But, yeah, with the way that Pac was talking about Spence, this is the last thing I expected, really and truthfully.
Yeah.
Although, to be fair, with the stuff that Garcia was alluding to, I think it became a little bit obvious, but we were just hoping it weren't going to happen that way.
Yeah. Roy, what do you think?
It is a surprise. It's probably a safer option. Helps build his brand a bit bigger, a bit quicker. Yeah. So he's less likely going to get, you know, I guess, knocked out by someone like Pacquiao at this stage in his career.
Really?
I feel that even though Pacquiao's still Pacquiao, he's still got the energy of a 22-year-old fighter. I think Ryan Garcia is looking at the stage where he's watched Santa Cruz get knocked out. He's watching someone like a young mini Tyson going out there and just brutalising people. Why take the risk?
Yeah.
You know, choosing this fight over Haney, Stevenson, and I guess Tank, you obviously can always say, well, I lost to one of the greatest ever. Mm-hmm. And keep it in exhibition and still get the Tank fight.
Yeah.
Losing to Tank just puts him on a back burner where Tank's going to start going after Haney, Teofilo Lopez, and Shakur Stevens. He doesn't lose anything by either winning or losing. Well, if he wins, obviously, he then says, I beat an eight division champion.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
True. Rash?
I think it's bullshit. I don't think the fight's going to happen. I think it's a lot of smoke and mirrors at the moment, to be honest. Contrary to David, I actually did think the Tank fight was going to happen, only because I was hearing about it from like last year before this whole COVID shit happened. I was hearing Tank was meant to fight Santa Cruz in last year May, and Garcia was meant to fight Linares in July, and then they were meant to fight. I heard that was the plan anyway, but it does make sense that it was just to kind of build up a thing in it. But the thing is, it's only Ryan Garcia that's coming out and saying that, oh, I was fighting Pacquiao. Pacquiao hasn't confirmed anything yet.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
It's only a reality when the A-side kind of confirms it and everything.
Yeah.
Furthermore, if it's going to be an exhibition, it just kind of shows the jokes that the boxing's kind of in at the moment. We're getting fucking Floyd and Logan Paul and Jake Paul and fucking Ben, like all this type of bullshit. We want to see Ryan Garcia fight Tank. You know what I'm saying? Like, me personally, I'm not that invested in Ryan Garcia's career. So it's good for him if he can get a Pacquiao fight in, but like, it's kind of like, what has he kind of done to deserve it? But as Roy was saying, in reality, if he can get a Pacquiao fight, fair play to him. Do you know what I'm saying? Because I don't think he deserves it. But if he can get it, then his Instagram following's done him more good than bad. So props to Ryan Garcia. And like Roy was saying as well, it's huge. If he actually wins that fight, that's huge. That puts him...
It's massive.
Yeah, that's massive. That makes him like the next Dillaway. Do you know what I'm saying?
I've got a problem with him... Whether he wins that fight or not, I've got a problem, because okay, straight after beating Luke Campbell, he was talking like he was the money. Well, he kind of, I guess he is the money in the division now, but he was talking like he was the money in the division, like he's the king fish in the division. Dude, you got no titles.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you know what I mean?
To be honest, I think that the Pacquiao fight is harder than the Gervonta Davis fight. Gervonta Davis is a great fighter. He's fast, he's powerful, but pound for pound, it's fictional. It's only a fictional thing. So,
right,
you know, a win over Tyson Fury or Anthony Joshua is always a better win than a win over Beterbiev or whoever, because it's a bigger, more difficult man to beat. Pacquiao's best win, really, is Miguel Cotto. Pound for pound, Barrera and Morales might be better, but pound for pound is just the concept and the theory. In reality, put them in the ring and who wins? The bigger man wins. So if you can beat the bigger man, it's a better accomplishment. Pacquiao is a fighter who is able to beat fighters at 154. He's a bigger man. I expect him to stop Garcia with the fight. He's bigger. Yeah. He's just dropped Thurman. He's stronger. He's got, you know, more powerful punches. He's not Luke Campbell, who, you know, has never won a world title. He's a great fighter. Let's move on from that topic onto topic two, so we can make a bit of progress. Topic two is the WBA. The WBA and the joke that keeps giving. So the WBA are speaking about enforcing Emmanuel Char mandatory, enforcing Anthony Joshua to fight Emmanuel Char, which is ridiculous. Right after we've just had, the USIC mandatory be delayed sensibly. So this unification have happened. The WBA have stepped up with their foolishness. So we'll start the opposite end. Rash, what do you think? And we'll come back around again.
Yeah, that's a load of bollocks. You know what I'm saying? Like, no one cares to see, minimal people care to see that fight. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't even think Charles' friends would rather see that fight than AJ and Fury. So, yeah, it's like you said, it's just these mandating belts just wanting a piece of the pie and just wanting money. So it's like they got to pay off this sanction fee, they got to pay off that sanction fee. So they're just trying to make sure of, like, if AJ and Fury are going to fight, they're getting their money times two, innit? Do you know what I'm saying? Because obviously then there's going to be other sanction fees when whoever wins that fight anyway. So they're just trying to make the maximum profit, man. They know that this is the biggest fight in boxing. So yeah. you've got to try and be like, give me, man. Like, you've got to be like, yeah, let me get my money in now. Get
a percentage, yeah.
So 1,000%, nice. And get the highest percentage you can get. But nobody wants to see that fight, seriously.
No, Roy, what do you think?
The fight is a joke. It just delays. As I said before, heavyweight boxing, you tend to only see who you want to see fight once a year, twice if you're lucky. Yeah. So delaying any of these fights to have mediocre fights, like Manuel Char hasn't fought anyone. Off the top of my head, I can't think of anyone credible he's fought to push him for an actual mandatory, let alone to get in there before some of the
bigger hitters. He hasn't fought.
That's ridiculous. So getting the way the mandatory works, as I said before, the mandatory against fights that we actually want to see happen in the championship, under the sanctioning bodies, they should actually just sanctioned fights with the top five and not in the system that they use for mandatories. And Manuel Char doesn't deserve it. It just delays the fights that we want to see.
Yeah, I agree.
And it makes the fighters get older, because none of these two fighters are actually getting any younger.
They're not. David, what's your opinion?
Yeah, same. I'm pretty much with Rash. I'm pretty much both of them on this one. It's a load of bollocks, to be honest with you. I think, really, the fact that he's even still got the belt says a lot about the WBA anyway. Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, to not have fought for 3 years and still have a belt of any sort, it doesn't speak well of the organisation, really.
No.
And I wouldn't be surprised if it's the WBC begging him a favour so that Joshua and Fury don't fight yet, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, if you look at the whole mess with Wilder from before and look at it now, Bob and Eddie are making the right noises, but we've been waiting too long for this undisputed fight, and I don't really want to see any more obstacles, man.
Yeah. The problem with boxing, to be honest, I mean, there's a lot of criticisms of boxing, but it's funny, if you listen to the MMA and UFC guys, they've been saying for a while boxing's on its way out. Everyone said it, and it continues to survive. I remember back quite a while ago, before Floyd proved he was a star, I remember Dana saying that there are no stars in boxing outside of Oscar, and when he retires, boxing's dead. And then Floyd became a star and Pacquiao became a star, and they said the same thing. When Pacquiao and Mayweather retire, boxing's dead. And now Joshua and Canelo are stars, and potentially Garcia and Fury, and it's the same thing. So, but the new boxers always come in, and what I like at the moment is, despite it being locked down, we've had a lot of big fights recently, from all the way back from Povetkin against Dillon, and it hurts me to bring that up all the way back from that fight.
That's a good fight.
Yeah, we've had some good fights. But the problem is still the governing bodies bringing in things like this Bridgerweight title. It's a load of, you know, no one cares about the Bridgerweight division.
Franchise.
The franchise champion, the WABA regular and super champion. It's all nonsense. And
it just dilutes it dilutes what people in previous years have achieved, like when there was only one and two belts.
Yeah.
If you look at him now, if he actually decides to retire, Manuel Char, and his kids go around to the house, he's going to have a cabinet in the in his living room with a belt that makes him look like he was a champion. So his grandkids and great-grandkids are going to come around and look at the belt, and it's going to say WBA. Yeah. Don't mind what it says after that. It's going to say champ. It's a belt, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But that's what they all aim for, and it's embarrassing.
It's an embarrassment. It just needs to stop. When I really think about it, it's, you know, that's the great thing about the UFC as an organization. There's one champion per division. You might have an interim champion, but everyone who knows who the real champion is. I won't get.
But even when you've got an interim champ, even when you've got an interim champ, the thing is, when the proper champ comes back, they fight.
Yeah, they fight. I won't get into this because I know this is gonna send Rash off on a tangent anyway. But the entire situation with Teofimo Lopez and Devin Haney is a perfect example of how diluted boxing is and how problematic. Yeah. Because Loma was the man, T.O. beat him, T.O.'s the man, but apparently because of, you know, because of Gmail, Haney's the man. It doesn't make any sense.
And then Ryan's the man, apparently. So
now Ryan's the man. let's move on to the next topic. Go ahead, Rash.
I was going to say that, and then Tank's got a form of the WBA as well. So Tank might as well be the man.
It's none of it means anything. It just invalidates.
It's a mess. It's a mess.
It's a complete mess. So next, Derek Chisora and Joseph Parker are talking about actually having the fight that never was. It's been on and off so many times. He got a spider bite, but he's not been climbing up walls. Joseph Parker is, you know, is excuse after excuse. I believe him that he had a spider bite, but I just think it's unusual. Then there was COVID that stopped the fight. It's finally, they're in talks. I don't want to say it's finally going to be signed. What do you think, starting with David, and who's your pick? Should that fight go ahead?
My pick is... Sorry, guys, I'm trying to fix something here. Let me just get on with it. My pick is Parker. Because I think, other than trying to bully him for the first few rounds, Chisora's not got what it takes no more. I think Parker's speed is going to cause him a lot of problems. And his only hope really is the same thing it was with Usyk, which is to try and rough the guy up. And if that doesn't work for the first four, maybe five rounds.
Yeah.
No. Sorry, guys, I'm trying to fix this thing properly.
It's okay.
So I think my thing is Parker will, I think it will go 12. I don't see him knocking Derek out, but once his speed takes over and Derek starts flying out of his ass, it's done.
Yeah. Roy, what do you think?
I think the joke's a madness. I think a guy that's coming off of a loss to two top 10 contenders or two top five with White and obviously AJ, you was the champ and you're going backwards. To choose Derek as someone to try and help launch yourself back to the championship status is a joke. Derek, you don't know what Derek you're going to get on fight night. So as much as I think he will beat Derek, of the two, like David said, Joseph Parker is not knocking Derek Chisora out, but I believe Derek can knock out Parker at any point. The only problem is I just don't think he's up for it. Yeah, I just don't think he's up for it anymore. You can see it from his last few fights. He's just, unless he actually has some sort of like animosity, like he did with Dillon White. We had a fantastic fight. But then when he comes in with Usyk, it's just lazy boxing. Yeah. And it goes back to that mentality he's got as a journeyman. So for me, Parker should be aiming a bit higher or fight someone who's going to give him a bit more of a leapfrog to get towards, you know, Fury or to AJ. I just think it's a pointless fight for someone who just lost his belt a couple of years ago.
Interesting. And Rash?
You know, I think it's a good contrast of styles. I feel obviously Parker's a bit more polished than Chisora. Chisora's obviously a bit more rugged. But yeah, I think after that underwhelming loss against Usyk, because I don't think even though Chisora was trying, I just think the fundamentals weren't there. So I don't really know what Chisora's got left anymore. So for Parker, yeah. it might be a good combat trail. But with Parker, he's just too much of a nice guy, man. Yeah. I just think he's too nice. He's not alpha enough. Do you know what I'm saying? Like he kind of let Dillian bully him a bit as well. So yeah. It's just a bit like, I don't know. It's kind of a crossroads fight. I think it's not even a crossroads fight because Chisora's at the end of the road now. And if he loses to Parker, that's kind of it, bruv. You've kind of become a journeyman now. Yeah. You've kind of become a high profile journeyman. So I think Parker would win. It's a fight that I'd watch, but I think it should be like a co-main event now. Do you know what I mean? It shouldn't be holding its own card. So
looking back, if you look at the difference in the two fighters, like you look at Charles Martin's lost his belt, he's been out for a little while, but he's trying to chase Wilder. Like normally people try and avoid fighters like this, and you've got someone like Parker who's chasing Chisora. He should be chasing someone like Joyce, you know. Yeah. So he should be chasing someone with a name who's going to try and help him. Like if it was me, I'd be going for someone like Joyce or Usyk. Don't be trying to chase Dave Allen or Chisora. It's pointless. They're journeymen. And because of Eddie Hearn's made journeymen look like Harrods instead of the corner shop. With no disrespect to him. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I have to say, I quite like the fight. I mean, it's boxing, and boxing is an entertainment sport. I think that you know, we all enjoy championship fights between two elite fighters, but I still love to put on Gatti against Ward. I know Gatti won titles, but it wasn't elite level.
Elite, no.
It was Ward, really. It was entertaining, and I think that Parker and Chisora can make an entertaining fight, and that's why I'd watch it. I wouldn't necessarily pay for it more than I pay for Sky Sports, but I think they could make an entertaining fight. We were speaking the other day about, you know, looking back at fights, and when you think about it, looking back at Dillian Whyte against Parker, it was an exciting fight, but it wasn't really that competitive. If you think about it, Parker won round one and two until he got dropped. It was a clash of heads, to be fair to him. But after that clash of heads, I don't think he won another round until the 12th or 11th. No, he dropped. Yeah. So Dillian Whyte really dominated the fight, but he never dominated Chisora in either of their fights. So I'd expect Parker to win because he's a better fighter, but it could be an exciting fight. It's definitely worth a watch. Moving on, I want to try and get in two more topics and then we'll wrap it up. So Conor McGregor this weekend, how do we feel? I know it's not boxing, but it is a boxing story because there's been talks of him fighting Pacquiao and fighting Jake Paul as well. What happened, Rash?
Do you know what? I had a feeling that Poirier was going to win, but it's just that Conor was, in his heyday, he was just the level above Poirier. But he's been on he's been living too much party lifestyle, been drinking too much. I think after the Floyd fight, he wasn't really a fighter anymore. He was a celebrity. So when he came back to MMA, obviously he fought Khabib, lost that, and then he came back and fought Cerrone, but that wasn't very telling. So I was pretty sure if it got out of that the first round, it was going to get sticky for him. Dustin's been fighting. He's been in a few wars now as well, and he's won most of them. Yeah. So I knew that if Dustin really stuck it on him, Conor couldn't win a dog fight. Do you know what I'm saying? The last dog fight he was in, he fought Nate Diaz and he was running. Unfortunately, that's just the realest, that's the realness of the situation. People say Floyd's a runner. Conor McGregor was literally turned his back, was running from Nate Diaz. So I just think that the party lifestyle just caught up with him.
Yeah.
And that was just a rise and fall, man. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you have to rate him for his success, but I think he's on a decline now. I think right now he should be really fighting someone like a Tony Ferguson or even Dan Hooker, who got knocked out by a Michael Chandler on the undercard. So that's where Conor needs to go from there, in my opinion.
Roy, what do you think? Do you think that he can come in and do you think he could? But is it reasonable for him to fight Jake Paul or Pacquiao now?
He shouldn't fight Pacquiao. I think there's a huge size difference, but Pacquiao would have he would just toy with him, I think. And to be fair, someone who's made so much money from the sport and gone off, like Rash said, and had that sort of lifestyle after, he shouldn't be fighting. It's dangerous.
Yeah.
You know, your body's taken a toll. the levels of training that he's been, because I read somewhere that he's actually been sparring with people that's slightly more mediocre than he should be sparring with, and he's probably not taking it serious, and it's a deadly sport, so he shouldn't be getting into the ring. He doesn't, he shouldn't need to. Once you've made your money, that's the whole purpose of the sport. Like, you make your money, you get out. He made a lot of money. Yeah. But when I watched the fight the other day, I don't watch much UFC, and I thought there was times when he could have had the guy, like, he's toying a bit too much. Like, he's got, you know, you got, he's got his foot again across the cage. I think you're like, finish the guy, stop mucking about, you know?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden he gets beat up, but he needs to retire. I don't think he should fight. Not even Logan Paul, you know?
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous. And an exhibition fight should be for those who are not active fighters. But he shouldn't be one of those people.
David, what do you think? The article that I read actually listed kind of how much it should make us appreciate fighters like Mayweather and Joel Calzaghe, fighters who reached top level, made a lot of money and continue to be successful, continue to have that hunger. Do you think that he lost the hunger, McGregor?
Not necessarily that he lost the hunger, but I think he, as Rash said, he's become a celebrity more than a fighter, really. And I think having the crossover fight actually made it worse, because, you know, he made money that boxers are dreaming of making on one night. So now, you know, even though, if you think about it as well, he's a one fight, he's got an 0-1 record as a boxer, but he's made more money than probably most boxers I've ever fought.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So right there, he's come into it. He's come into the fight with a big head, and left it defeated, but with an even bigger one.
Yeah, you're right.
So really, you know, I think that's part of the problem with him. And then you look at the fact that he was fighting Dustin, and Dustin's been gearing up for this rematch for a long time. So the hunger he had going into this fight, I wouldn't say Conor's necessarily lost the hunger. It just wasn't as much as Dustin's. You know, and he admitted that afterwards. He said he's been inactive for a while. Dustin's been fighting, and unfortunately, he's had its end. But we know, we've seen it now. Every time Conor gets beaten, he retreats. He gives up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And when he was getting the shit kicked out of his calf, you know, you could see it was having an effect of him. And it affects on him, and he was never going to go to another round. It wasn't going to go a minute longer, really, because he had enough.
Yeah, he wanted out.
And that's the quitter in him, really and truthfully.
Yeah. Okay, our last topic for discussion. With this, I'd like you to pick a winner and explain how. So it's active at the moment in the news. It's kind of a discussion regarding Alexander Usyk and David Haye, and who would have won had they fought. I mean, at cruiserweight, you'd have to say Evander Holyfield is the best ever cruiserweight, and then argument for second is between Usyk and Usyk probably achieved slightly more, but it wasn't dramatically more, it was very close. So we'll start with you again, David. Who do you think wins and how?
Right. So I'd like to say David Haye, but I think Usyk's footwork, he's a bit of a trickster in the ring. He's pretty, and he's unfashionable as well, but he's so effective. And I think for as long as he takes David Haye's shot away from him, for as long as he can manage David Haye's power, I think he wins quite easily, to be honest. Because he does the little things. He's got some of them Klitschko tricks where he might flail his arms or take a step back and tire fighters out. We saw that a lot with Chisora as well, to be honest with you. And if you look at Chisora, I won't quite call him a Haye Mark II, but he's clearly picking up some stuff from David Haye.
He is now.
I personally think he would have won. He won't knock Haye out. And then you remember Haye's stamina was questionable from the jump.
Okay, interesting.
So,
I don't know if I agree, but I'm not trying to influence you.
Wow, I don't know.
Roy, next, what do you think?
I have to go with Haye. I think Usyk's a very talented fighter, but I think it's I still haven't seen him in there with someone obviously there's a big punching heavyweight. At cruiserweight,
at heavyweight, yeah.
At heavyweight, yeah, he hasn't been in there with someone who's like Chisora. Yeah, he's a decent puncher, but the quality of Chisora isn't going to beat Usyk. But at cruiserweight, I have to go with Hay. I think Hay's power was just too much. His footwork was questionable. You know, he came across, he was, like, the way he came across the ring, like kind of like one of those karate stances, you know, kind of like one arm down, one arm up.
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, I think over the 12 rounds, I think I would have given it to Hay. I think just the style, once he'd worked out Usyk and just caught him a couple of times, I think he would have got him. I don't know if he would have stopped him. But it would have been a good fight. It's a very good matchup.
Very good fight. Rash.
So you honestly think that over 12 rounds, Hay is gonna beat
cruiserweight
Usyk? over 12 rounds, yeah.
Over 12 rounds, yeah. I you know what it is. I don't know. I never liked Hay as a person back then. I think he was a bit too, you know, he was a very arrogant guy. But after watching him back a lot, I actually respect the craft that he put in at cruiserweight. Mm. He was a good fighter. Mm. But then again, I can't say that I've watched both of them have someone from each style to actually challenge them. So it's hard to kind of tell who would win. And it's a dream matchup, isn't it? So I'm gonna say that he's got the energy for 12 rounds. And okay. If it was over 12 rounds, I think I'd give it to Hay.
Yeah. Rash, what do you think?
I'm gonna have to go with Usyk. I think Usyk's achieved a fair amount more actually. All the bouts he won in his opponent's hometowns, to be fair. He went to all of their countries, beat them. Then he entered the Super Six tournament, beat everyone there as well. I fought a big puncher in Gassiev. I think he fought Glowacki as well, who was quite a big puncher. So and amongst a few others. So I'm gonna say Usyk, apart from I don't want to call it a lucky punch because I don't believe in lucky punches, but unless Hay lands that one hit a quitter on him, which he's capable of as well,
yeah.
Because Hay was a very fast, dynamic, explosive fighter, but Usyk just has too many fundamentals and tricks. I think he knows how to take away punches. He doesn't really get hit to the head that hard. Do you know what I'm saying? I know Batavi have dropped him twice in the amateurs to the body. But Hay wasn't really that much of a body puncher, do you know what I'm saying?
Go back and watch the Mormek fight. That was all body work.
Yeah, I'm just saying that typically he's not, but he wasn't a body puncher, do you know what I'm saying? He's a kind of sticker move. So I think Hay's style would definitely give him problems because it would be a lot of caginess between like who's gonna take the lead. But I just think Usyk's output, footwork, and angles would probably just take it, but I think Hay would be trying for that one punch KO for the whole fight. It'd be dangerous for the whole fight, I think.
Yeah, brilliant. I'll pick Hay, which is pretty much 50-50. I think that is a very close fight. I think that Usyk has accomplished more at cruiserweight, even though Hay did very well. I think Hay's wins over Macronelli, who was a decent fight. So I know we look back and laugh at him because he became chinny, but his win over a big truck, Macronelli's, was a really good win. He was fighting at a high level until he got stopped by Hay. You know, his wins over Mormek were really good. And the people that beat Hay at heavy, with the exception of Bellew, right, is just like Klitschko. I'd expect Klitschko to beat Usyk comfortably as well. I think the thing with Usyk, despite him being a very good fighter, is he does get caught. You're right, but he gets caught, and I don't think he can afford to get caught against such a big puncher. I think Hay was a huge puncher at cruiser, and even when he moved to heavy, he was still considered a big puncher. And I think someone as athletic as Hay is more athletic than Bellew, even though we lost to Bellew. You'd expect him to land with more regularity than Bellew did, and I think he's going to get him out of there. I think that people coming out of Papachenko's camp, this is going to upset Rash again, are, you know, very good fighters, but a lot of it's more style over substance. Because you look fancy, you know, switching angles constantly. What happens when someone really takes the fight to you with no respect? Mike Tyson's one of my favourite fighters. He was a powerhouse, he was an animal. But when people really took the fight to him with no respect, on occasion, he he crumbled. I don't want to say that as universal law because it was not universal. When he fought Ruddock, he stood up to it and he fought back, and Bruno came through him and he stood back. But when he knew that person was going nowhere with Holyfield and Lewis, they broke him down and they stopped him. And what we saw with the Papachenko fighters is if you're not overawed by their flashy moves, they're beatable. They're still good fighters, but they're beatable. I think he beat Chisora comfortably, Usyk, but it was probably 8-4, maybe even 9-3. But what did David Haye do to him in his prime? He blasted him out of there, you know, with the power that he had. And I think, I know it's a different thing, but that Chisora was closer to his prime than the one that Usyk fought.
Anyway, yeah,
certain, he was motivated. He'd just come off the fight with Vitaly Klitschko, where he'd really given
Vitaly well.
Help. Mm. And David Haye beat him more impressively than Klitschko did. That combo to stop Chisora, what was it? It was about a 5-punch combo. Everything landed. And I think that's what we can't underestimate. David Haye was very accurate. He was very athletic. And he did have... His fundamentals were not as good as Usyk's, but he did have fundamentals. Some fighters who were athletic, like a Wilder, have no fundamentals. But some, you know, have some fundamentals as well, and that's what makes them successful, and that's what I think would be the difference between Usyk and Hay, should they have fought.
How does someone like Usyk fare against Ortiz?
He
beats Ortiz.
Again, the same thing I was saying. I think he stretches Ortiz. I think the thing with Usyk, like we saw it against Belyu, he's not a concussive puncher. But the thing with him is it's the cumulative effect.
If you
looked at the Chisora fight, I mean, at first he was like a deer in the headlights, man. He was on the run, and I think it was around 7 or 8 when he ended up driving Chisora back purely because of the cumulative effect of his punches. You know, and you saw it because we can't really compare both of their fights against Belyu, but Haye was banking on knocking Belyu out. And Usyk just took his time with him. He dissected him and then knocked him out.
Yeah, of course. And obviously that's what Tony said in a lot of his interviews. He was scared because he actually kept saying how much he's going to actually damage him and hurt him. So, and he knew that he had, you know, unbelievable power. He knew that the work rate had gone. But the thing is, with the Ortiz, it's a very similar situation for me with someone like Haye. Like, you're kind of expecting someone who's only just going to hit you with a good punch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the southpaw aspect is obviously it's an awkward fight to fight anyway, but that's why we love boxing. It's just awkward matchups, man. It makes for great fights.
It really does.
I'd like to see Usyk with some like a Joyce. Someone's just going to keep coming forward to see if he can actually back up a heavyweight.
Brilliant, guys. I think we're going to have to wrap up there. It's been fantastic speaking with all of you again. I'm Richard.
David.
I'm Rash.
I'm Roy.
And this is the TBK podcast.
And this is the TBK podcast.